When I lived in San Francisco, I had started my own business, a catering company, which took up a lot of time. I had to learn small business law. I had to struggle with accounting, never one of my strong suits. And I had to do all of this while running around town in a 20-year-old car with 170,000 miles on it, which is a way of saying I went to visit my mechanic quite often. Around the corner from my mechanic in Polk Gulch in San Francisco was a different mechanic who I did not use. And one day as I was walking by there, I read a sign. You know how mechanics sometimes have pithy pieces of wisdom? I drove by there completely overwhelmed with my life and its complexity, and there on the sign was the perfect message for me. It said, for every complex problem in life, there's a simple solution. And I was like, oh good, thank God. It's so hard to get all the pieces done, to take care of what we have to do. And sometimes it's too much information overload and we don't want to do it. And I was grateful to see that sign until I realized that I had made a mistake, because there was more to the sign, because the quote was from a guy, H.L. Mencken. And the full quote said, for every complex problem, there is a simple solution, and it is wrong. Friends, we live in the age of the soundbite, of the tweet. We want the world to make sense instantly because we're so overloaded. We want to be able to divide the world into black and white, camps of good and evil. We want to be able to have simple solutions because we think it will solve a problem for us, the problem of having too much to do. One of the facets of our religion and our Judaism that I love the most is that it doesn't let us off the hook like that. It believes and requires us to think deeply, because by doing that, we'll actually come to greater understanding and be able to make things better. It is the very antidote to the tweet and to the soundbite culture. And I think that this week's Parsha of Matot Maseh has a very fascinating example of that. And strangely or counterintuitively enough, it concerns the rule of vows. I talked very early today about the power of language when we said Baruch Shemar, that prayer. Words matter, and they shape our culture, our relationships. We're come to be known, are we people of honesty, of integrity? Is our word our bond? Vows were the way in the ancient world that deep reality of who we are and of our commitments to one another were emphasized. The Torah tells us that vows are so essential that once we make them, we're committed to them and we can't get out of them. So that if you say something, you should mean it. How different from our world and our time that words mean that much. Yet there's something then that looks disturbing in the Torah portion. It says that's the case for men, but that if a married woman or a minor woman living in her father's home makes a vow, the man has the right within that first utterance of her making it to cancel the vow. And it would seem like that is a sexist statement. And if we were buying into the quick jump, the tweet, we could decide that is indeed what the Torah is teaching us, that sexism is okay. I want to argue that the Torah is teaching us a very different lesson about nuance. And part of that nuance comes from the context of the period. Our tradition teaches us that the Torah was written for human beings in the language of humans and to the time and culture in which the Torah was given. And only through the process of interpretation and law does it get updated. So what does that mean? In the Bronze Age, when this was written, it is true that society was very hierarchical, and that therefore women did not have the rights that women enjoy today, and that men had a tremendous amount of influence over their wives and over their daughters. Into that society in which men had all the power, the Torah is actually coming to put a limitation on male power. If the husband or father doesn't say at that moment that this vow is not acceptable because resources were his, he loses his power over his daughter or over his wife to fulfill that vow. The Torah, which on its surface looks like a sexist decision, is actually limiting male power and raising female protections in a very different society than our own. And that, to me, teaches this tremendous lesson about context. We're so quick to judge, like I was at that sign, that we assume often the worst, and we have to understand, what can a particular society bear? How can it make incremental improvements so that more and more people are empowered? And when we study the history of vows, we see this evolution. If you're a rabbi or a cantor, this is the time of the year when you're thinking about the high holidays. And one of the most beautiful prayers of the high holidays, which pulls our heartstrings, whether we know it or not, is the Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre, V'Yesare, right? So powerful. That prayer is canceling the vows we might make in the future, because the Torah understands that it is so hard for us to fulfill our rules. Rather than just being a limitation on male power, the tradition tries to eliminate vows entirely, because it knows that when we overcommit and don't know what our life will look like, that it becomes very hard to fulfill. And so Kol Nidre is an evolution of this process. Life is complicated, and we are so overwhelmed in so many ways. And what I'm urging is that the retreat from approaching complexity actually makes our life more difficult, because we are unable to see the big picture, because we can't connect or understand, because we don't give other people the benefit of the doubt from that instantaneous judgment we make. And the Torah seems to be arguing against that here. So I want to leave you with this charge. As you go through your life, and as you catch yourself making the quick judgment, the soundbite decision about other people in your life, think about this strange law of vows. Catch yourself. Wonder, what might that person have meant, or what is their worldview, and how does that statement make sense from where they are coming from? The world is complex, but us running away from it won't change that. It will just make us lesser people. So you go in your world, remember that for every complex problem, there is a simple solution, and it is wrong. Shabbat Shalom.